This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
3, 2, 1. Let's go.
What's hot in the strip clubs? Your hosts, the 2016 and 2017 recipients of the Exotic Dancer Publications DJ of the Year Award, Danny Myers and Alon Fong.
Hey, welcome to another episode of What's Hot in the Strip Clubs podcast on Pantheon Podcast Network. I am Danny Myers. That is Alon Fong. What's going on with you on a day like today?
Well, man, I thought we should have a talk. I saw a little post you put up the other day saying that something about 40 years in industry, something about a mic drop. I'm not really sure, clear what's going on. So I'm kind of curious what the big news is, what the announcement is, what's happening.
Yeah, so I got your attention by saying that. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Do you really want to know?
Well, yeah, I want to know, but I mean, so I don't know. It was a good teaser. You got me curious as to what's going on. I mean, you've been doing this for what 28 years in a strip club, 40 yeah. years in overall, right?
DJing 46 total, 28 in the. I started off back in the disco days, you know, back in the 70s as a DJ before you were even a gleam in your daddy's eye,
hey now,
as they would like to say. And I started off as a failed musician. I never made it anywhere as a musician. I started doing wedding receptions as a DJ. I didn't really know what I was doing, but you know, you didn't have to back then, honestly. Then all of a sudden I started doing clubs. I started doing the discotheques back in the late 70s. Cool. I used to work for a club called Mingles Disco. That was my first full time. Mingles, yes. Get ready to mingle because you're single. You know, the place
single
to
and
see.
Ready to mingle. Look out.
The place to see and be seen. That was the catchphrase. Actually in a Ramada Inn. And yeah. Nice. So I was there.
Everyone put clubs in hotels.
Yeah, I was there for a few years and kind of bounced around from there. I ended up at a club called Christie's, no relation to the strip club chain. That was in a Marriott. A lot of the hotels back then had discos and bars. You know, bounced around, worked for Jeff Ruby at the Precinct for a little bit. He had a club upstairs originally, up and down in his restaurant down in Cincinnati. I ended up at a place called the Conservatory for a majority of my club life, and that was a big club in northern Kentucky, which was basically greater Cincinnati, right next to the waterfront. Cool. So, you know, I did that, and I don't know, then all of a sudden I got into the strip club business.
How in God's name did you end up in the strip club?
Okay, so the club I was working at, Conservatory, was sold to a mortician, and he pretty much killed the business. Yeah, that was our running joke. Yeah, he killed the business, died in no time. They fired me almost immediately when they took over because I was pretty vocal about them selling it and just, you know, coming in here with all their stupid ideas. So I was out of work and not really doing a whole lot, finding whatever I could. I was actually working at a teen club for a little bit. I was like mid-40s and working at a teen club. That was interesting.
That's funny.
And a friend of mine called me up and he said, hey, you know, this guy actually did sound and lighting for clubs. And he said, I'm going up to Diamonds tonight up in Dayton. And, by the way, they got an opening for a day shift strip club DJ. And you should go with me and talk to them. And I said, yeah, no way. I'm not, not me, man. I am not DJing in a strip club because, you know, I had just heard the rumors that it was, you know, you had to change your voice to, hey, okay, coming up on a stage, you know.
And, oh, boy.
So I ended up going up there, And then they asked me if I would come in that following Saturday and audition. So I did that. And great audition story for you, though, by the way.
All right.
So here's how I auditioned. They put me on the microphone. This is, they were not open. It was a Saturday afternoon.
Okay.
Myself and another guy who was applying. The two owners of Diamonds and the two other DJs from Diamonds were sitting out in the audience, and they gave us a piece of paper to read. They could care less about my music choices because they were going to tell us what music to play. So, the only thing they really cared about was that, you know, you had a voice.
Right.
So they give us this piece of paper to read, and I can remember it, like memorized it. It was the feature intro. And it was, "Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Diamonds Cabaret. Diamonds is proud to present another engagement in our feature performance series. In a moment, blah, 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 blah," right? Mm-hmm. So the other guy reads it, stumbles all over it. And so then they said, "Okay, let's hear this other guy." So I got on and I said, "Good evening, ladies and gentlemen." And Luke, the main owner, just stood up and walked out of the audition. I said, "Well, fuck, nice. I guess that didn't go very well." So after I got done, I just kept reading it. And then I went down and they said, "When can you start?" I said, "I didn't think he liked me." He said, "Why would you say that?" I said, "Because he walked out after I said, 'Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.'" He said, "No, you said, 'Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.'" And he said, "Hire him." And he walked out.
That's funny. And look, you've came back full circles because you returned to Diamonds, what, about 3 years ago?
Yeah, I was at Diamonds for, I guess, like 13 years. Then
right,
I left,
you left
for a while, went to Harem. They got shut down. Bounced around, had a cup of coffee in a few places, and then I ran into Luke at one of the ED expos, and he said, "Hey, we got a couple days open. If you're not doing anything, why don't you come work for us again?" And so I did. And so the last three and a half years, I've been just sort of doing a part-time thing there, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday guy. So,
right on. Well, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you a follow-up question as far as, you know, like you said, you got over 40 years of experience, 28 years in strip clubs, but what has changed in the clubs, particularly strip clubs, more specifically? Well, let's start there. What are some of the major changes you think, for good and for bad?
Okay, and for the clubs or for the DJ?
Strip clubs.
For the clubs themselves?
Yeah, and of course, as relates to DJs, but...
Okay, well, I'll start with the club. I think the biggest change is really the level of expectation from the customer. I remember even as a customer going to strip clubs in the 90s, and, you know, it was just kind of a pretty big deal to see a boob. I mean, there was no even beginning to think about touching, and closest thing to contact was their knee would brush your knee while you're down there getting a $10 table dance. But yeah, it was just, you know, this is back when, you know, you didn't see, like, girls weren't running around that frequently flashing boobs and things. If you wanted to see a boob, you either watched HBO or one of those late night shows or Porky's or one of those movies. I mean, it's just like strange girls that you didn't know just didn't show boobs. And that was just like one of the weirdest things, you know, that a girl I don't even know for $10 is going to, you know, dance for me and take off her top.
Yeah.
And nowadays you've got this level of expectation where, you know, people want so much more. And I blame... I don't know if I blame that. I will say it's because of the internet. The internet is, you know, obviously it's not a big deal to see a boob anymore, you know.
Right.
So, you know, that's been there. And with everything else just kind of coming along, that is what I would say is the biggest change for the clubs themselves is the level of expectation.
What about for DJs then? What have you seen change over your career?
Oh, wow. Yeah,
good,
I mean,
for bad.
Yeah, I mean, well, obviously I started with records, you know, and then even when I went to Diamonds, which would have been in 1996, they still had turntables there.
Nice.
They had a CD player and a mini disc player.
Mini disc.
I mean, I think as a DJ, it was a lot harder to do back then because you had to learn so much more. You know, nowadays everything is computerized. You load a song and put in a playlist and, you know, things like that. But you actually had to know your music back then. You had to know your CD library. You had to, like, all these little stickers on the CDs, you know. Song two on this one is good. Cue at 16 seconds, these little stickers. So you would do that. But your whole time you were DJing, you had to, like, constantly, okay, put the CD away, put it back on the rack where it goes, grab another one. And I think you really always had to be thinking off on the fly quite a bit faster. Nowadays, with the computers, I hate to say it, but anybody can go through the mechanics of being a DJ now. know, everybody knows how to load a Spotify playlist. So the mechanics of being a DJ have drastically made it easier for the industry. Now, does that mean that it's easier to DJ now? No, it's still very difficult to do it right.
Okay.
But yeah, I think that the technology is one of the biggest differences. Back then, the DJ, we were the experts on music, man. The girls learned about their music from us. We did our research, our Billboard magazines, our listen to Casey Kasem's, things like that. And we brought the girls the new music, and they relied on us for new music. And nowadays with you know, with TikTok and Spotify and everything, and if a girl's got a favorite artist, you know, their phone's going to recommend 20 other songs that they might like. And so they're bringing us songs now. So that's why I think one of the biggest changes right there, too. The entertainers are much more educated about music. People in general, customers even, are much more educated about music than they were back in the 90s.
I wouldn't say they're more educated. I would say they're more aware and want what they want and know what they like. I don't know that they're more educated about music in general. And a lot of that is, again, like you said, the expectation of the customer now is much higher, not just with what the girls do, but with music, with how they're treated, et cetera. And then, you know, the other thing you didn't touch upon, but the girls have much more say now because of the class action lawsuits, et cetera, that have determined and changed music format and what and what can't be played or what they can ask for and blah, blah, blah. It's totally changed from when, you know, we started in the industry 25, 28 years ago. You know, and there's good and bad things to that, you know. Technology, yes, definitely changed things quite a bit. I'd agree with that. And just, you know, I think we've mentioned it on our other shows, but just the overall, and you touched upon it a little bit, sexuality has become more and more prevalent and prominent everywhere, right? On your phone, social media, internet, like you said. And also people just expect more because of that. Like you said, they're used to seeing it everywhere at all times. So I think that's definitely true. And the norms regarding sexuality and sex work have totally changed as well. So I think all those things are definitely making it more and more difficult to be a DJ, Danny Myers. And I don't mean on the functional doing the job of finding a good paying gig, because at the end of the day, most nightclubs have never truly paid their DJs. We make our money usually from a fee from the entertainers, and the club maybe pays us a low hourly or a shift pay or something like that, right? So most of our money came from the entertainers. And now that DJs, you almost have to play what the girls want because you're a slave to the money. If you want to make any money, you got to, if you want to make money off the girls to get them to tip you or pay you more, then you have to play what they want. Whether that's good or bad for the club is irrelevant. And, you know, all those changes and programs like Show Club and Cover Jock, which are replacing a lot of earlier shifts, early in the day shifts and proving ground shifts where young DJs learn and cut their teeth, so to speak, are disappearing. So there's a lot of challenges for all of us in the industry, DJs in particular, though, as we seem to be being minimized somewhat. I think the great DJs are really good people. Clubs appreciate a really good DJ for sure. I think they still do that. They still stand out. You know, you've said numerous times, what more can you do besides DJ? You have to create more value for yourself. Mm-hmm. And while I agree with that, that could be doing social media or doing the, you know, posters for them or
sound,
you know,
and light system, so maintenance on the sound.
Right, maintenance
light
on lights, yeah. Right, all that sort of thing. While that's true, I also feel like the clubs have taken advantage of that as well, and DJs aren't compensated for the extra work they are doing either. So some clubs do, some don't. So, you know, there's, again, it's a complex thing, but many, many issues there. But you've seen it all come and go. And I'm curious to find out what it is that you are teasing about. Is there something else you need to say, get off your chest before that?
Yeah, I might as well go ahead and make this announcement.
Okay. Well, tell you what, hold on. Let me handle some business first. We'll have that announcement coming up right after this.
This is DJ Mike D with my chums Danny Myers and Elon Fong, right here on the What's Hot in the Strip Club podcast on the Pantheon Podcast Network.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant quality meals. Well, they got the shipment of Protein Plus meal plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
What's hot in the strip clubs? Your hosts, Danny Myers and Alon Fong.
All right, we are back. What's hot in the strip clubs? You're hanging out with me, Alon Fong, and Mr. Danny Myers, who we just teased a minute ago, has a big announcement. I don't know what it is either, so I'm very curious. So, Mr. Danny Myers, my friend, my podcast co-host, host, producer, what is going on? What's the big news? Let us know.
Okay, well, I posted my exact post that I put on Facebook a couple days ago. Said, after 46 years as a DJ, 28 of those in the strip club industry, I have an announcement to make. Listen to the What's Hot in the Strip Clubs podcast Friday, July 28th to listen to the next chapter.
Dun, dun, dun.
So these are the type of comments I'm getting, first of all. CJ Spin says, so you're starting an OnlyFans.
Hey, man. People love the Silver Fox, Danny.
Yeah. Okay. So if I was to start an OnlyFans, I would start the one that would be competition for Apple's stripper channel, which, and I don't think there's a market for one called Microsoft. So therefore, I don't think I'll be able to do that.
Ba-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum.
Yeah. Where's my rim shot? Sorry. Anyway, Sean Ritchie says, you're coming out transgender. Good for you. Okay, two things, Sean Ritchie. One, when you're going to write you're coming out, your is Y-O-U apostrophe, or Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, not Y-O-U-R. So,
true.
Sean Ritchie, if you're going to make comments, at least learn to spell. And second of all, even if I did come out as transgender, you still would not stand a chance. His very good friend, Bailey Fox, said, I really hope the answer is yes, and you finally GTFO out of the BS. She's a little angry at the industry, so we'll give her a pass there. Kelly Johnson, a.k.a. House Mom Heaven, says, you're opening your own club. Absolutely no way. No way. No way.
I thought that might be it, too.
No. Mike Boyle says, so we don't have to chart anymore?
No, that's still not true. Chart. Yeah. I'll handle that one.
Yeah.
No, you still got to chart.
Yeah.
Oh, and look at that. See, even the thunder was mad at you.
Wow. And Gracie Cardosi said, whatever you do, you'll be amazing. You are a great person. Thank you very much, Gracie Cardosi.
She's right.
Okay. So a couple things. I am opening up a new chapter. I am not retiring from what I do, but I am setting part of it aside. I am leaving the microphone from the club standpoint. My last day, well, let's see, if we release this on Friday, my last day would have been last Wednesday, which is actually 2 days from now because we're recording it on the previous Monday. So now you're really confused. I am leaving Diamond's Cabaret DJ booth.
Wow.
I don't know. It's just, it's time. I've been doing it for a long time. I don't enjoy it as much. I don't get that rush. Probably because, our industry has gotten, from our standpoint, kind of boring. It's play and talk, play and talk, play and talk. And, you know, so from that side of it, I'm no hard feelings toward the club. The club has always been very, very good to me. I'm just, it's time for me to walk away from the microphone. I am still staying on with Diamonds Cabaret in a role to where I'll be helping them out with some of their promotions, their video, audio, remixing, their music. I'm still going to be getting music up to them. And doing my Danny Meyer strip club music edits, meaning the taking these 2 minute songs and extending them to three. Sure. So a lot of things I can still do for them. Of course, we are still keeping our podcast. In fact, I want to get more into that. So I'm going to have more time to dedicate to the What's Hot in the Strip Clubs podcast. I started doing a lot more production lately for feature performers, to where I am doing their intros, their music sets, because, I'm not going to go ahead and give a whole plug for this thing, but I'm helping them out with their music sets so they sound better on these, especially on the automated systems. And sure. And there's not really a lot of DJs that can hype feature performers anymore. So I'm recording their intros and things like that. So between all of that and just any other fun thing I can come up with, that is the future. But I am setting the microphone aside for now.
Well, first, I think I got to throw you some flowers, man. First of all, if Wednesday night is the last time that you strip club DJ in a DJ booth, let me say that you've left an impeccable career. I mean, you've made a mark that very few DJs have made. You've left a legacy without a doubt from the podcasts that we're on that you started along with some other gentlemen, but you've been the driving force behind them for many years now, going on 9 years, from the DJ booth to being on the board of directors at Panda and being a part of that, third generation of Panda that really made it grow. And, you know, most importantly to me, you've always wanted to help DJs and make DJs better. All DJs, whether it was a DJ in a little club or a DJ in a mega club, whether it could be with music or talking in the mic or social media promotion or whatever, you've always been about helping other DJs, be great at their craft, and that's it. And that has always been your intention with everything you do. And so mad props, mad love to you. You know, you're my brother and my partner here on this podcast, and much love and respect to you. So thank you for your 40 plus years in DJing and 28 years in the strip clubs.
Well, you're throwing all those compliments my way, and I'm hearing thunder in the background. Like, so is this like,
Someone's like, no, you can't leave the strip club booth, damn it.
Yeah.
Is there a scenario that might entice you to come back?
Never say never.
All right.
Never say never. I think the right scenario, I could get back into it. It would take a situation of a club where I feel like I'm throwing a party. I missed going out on stage and doing things like wing contests and foxy boxing and feature performances and just getting out of the booth and having fun. Kind of like Jeb's Club, down there in Huntsville, Alabama, with the pony clubs, where they do like mud wrestling and biscuits and gravy wrestling. And you and I went to spaghetti and meatballs and threw a bunch of meatballs at girls. So.
That was odd. I mean, that would have gotten me kicked out 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that I think if the right opportunity came about, that I could see getting back into it, yeah.
Make strip clubs fun again.
But here's the whole thing. I live in Cincinnati, Ohio. I've lived here my whole life. My family's here. I've had opportunities to leave Cincinnati and move to other markets. But honestly, family's here, and family's the most important thing to me. My son and I are season ticket holders to FC Cincinnati, our soccer team, and we go to games constantly. And so it's been to give that up, to move to a whole nother market, it's gonna take some convincing, and it's gonna take the right situation. To where I can still come back, because I'm not leaving family. I'm 67 years old. My family's here, my kids here, I'm not gonna leave this on a permanent basis. So that's what it would take.
Man.
So if anybody out there, wants to like buy me a jet and fly me to your club for maybe a couple weeks and fly me back home for a couple weeks, you know?
I'm not asking for much.
You know, I mean, I don't even know if you have to buy me the jet. Just book my
Amex Black expense card, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Company Ferrari or Lamborghini, you know.
Yeah, all those things. So I guess that's meaning no, I probably won't get behind the microphone. But no, it's been an unbelievable ride. From everything that I have done through the years. As I say, I started DJing in the mid-70s, got in the strip clubs in 96, and here we are in 2023 and still going at it. But yeah, it's time to set that part of my life aside and open up a new chapter, and I'm excited to see where this this next chapter is. Hopefully there's more chapters to come before that final chapter that, you know, that we don't want to talk about.
Well, Danny, I'm sure I'm excited to see what you do. Obviously, I know we'll keep doing the podcast. So we'll share with you guys whatever you get into if bigger things come along. But again, man, congratulations on a phenomenal career and a great legacy you've left for strip club DJs. So great job. And I look forward to seeing what comes next, brother.
All right. And do all of the rest of you check out all of our podcasts, at, including the Panda Top 20, Bubbling Under, Off the Charts, Classic Remixes, Flashback Friday, Strip Club Music Hall of Fame, Behind the Curtain, Rockin' Pod Recap. They can all be found at whatshotitsc.com. Danny,
what a
out.
Pro. You're a professional.
Thanks for listening to What's Hot in the Strip Clubs with Danny Myers and Alon Fong, presented by Panda and Strip Joints Music. You can find us on all major podcast platforms. Thanks for listening.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.